Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Radio and our article on parenting this fine month of May. And we are on page 14 of your Advanced magazine. So if you have it with you, perhaps you'd like to open to that page so you can follow along as we discuss our parenting article. And if you have your digital device and have it on there, maybe you'd like to turn to it. And my name is Linda, and I have two gentlemen in our studio today to discuss this with me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gabe, and I'm new to parenting, and so I'm very happy I could join for today's lesson.
Yes, welcome, Gabe. And?
And Jack here. Thank you for joining us today, and glad to be joining you with on this topic.
Well, our article is titled Parenting 101. So this looks like a very basic class in parenting. If you take university classes or have taken university classes, 101 is like always the first one you take of a series, right? Psychology 101?
Yeah, and I was looking at this and thinking, I don't know, it seems like we could have maybe a whole year's worth of lessons just on parenting, and it would always it would still be the basic classes because there's a lot to learn, right?
I guess so. Do you want to tell us about it, Gabe?
I don't know. I'm learning a lot right now.
And how old is your baby now?
He was born last September. So May, what is that?
9 months.
Yeah, 9 months.
Okay.
I got daddy brain.
Baby brain.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jack, you're not a parent yet?
No, not me.
But you have been parented, and actually this is kind of a little bit different focus on what you might think about parenting. We're not going to be talking about parenting skills and what you should and shouldn't be doing. Sorry, Gabe. But we are going to talk about how the way that we were parented has affected us, mm-hmm. and maybe some decisions that we've made. So why don't we start by reading this first article or this first paragraph on page 14, just the very first introduction here down to about line 11.
Parenting 101. Insights for sharpening your parenting skills and ideas for making the most out of your child's playtime. Overcoming bad parenting. Having a fair amount of personal experience with family dysfunction, my mother's second marriage, I have lots of empathy for people who grew up under such circumstances. But such circumstances do not explain why any otherwise responsible, reasonably intelligent individual is struggling with parenting issues. The person is struggling because they have convinced themselves that their childhood is a handicap.
Well, just after reading the first paragraph, perhaps we should say that this is parenting 500 or something.
Right. That's what I was saying. You know, 101 could mean a lot of basic things, and it seems like we're getting into pretty deep issues here.
Right. And actually, this is basically, I think, for adult children mm-hmm. and dealing with their parenting issues or what happened to them as a child or how they were raised. So insights just means that we're going to be gaining some insight. Well, I use the word to describe it, right? Gaining some understanding, hopefully, that we can use to sharpen. If you sharpen something, what are you doing, Jack?
Means you're having a clearer focus, maybe a more precise understanding.
Okay, and of your parenting skills. That's for you, Gabe.
Exactly.
And then tomorrow, join us again. We're going to be talking about making the most of your child's playtime. So today we're really talking about overcoming bad parenting. So do either one of you feel like your childhood was dysfunctional or your parents were dysfunctional?
Yeah, that's a good word. The word dysfunction appears in our lesson. I was thinking about that. I honestly thought about it as I was preparing for this lesson, thinking what in my childhood was dysfunctional. I mean, there were some times where there were miscommunications or things like that, but I think overall it was not a dysfunctional family or childhood experience.
Well, if we look at the the definition of dysfunctional. It says not behaving or working normally. Mm-hmm. So how would we define normal for families?
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I did find some symptoms or signs of a dysfunctional family. Just for example, there's lack of empathy or understanding, a lack of healthy boundaries. Maybe some people are jealous or controlling.
This is parents' behavior?
Parents' behavior, and it, of course, affects, like, the children and their sibling relationships and stuff like that. But, yeah, you're right, Linda. It's mostly the parents' behavior that will maybe cause a family to be dysfunctional.
Okay, and this person, John Roseman, is actually writing out of personal experience, and he's describing dysfunction in his mother's second marriage. What about you, Jack? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, for me, I was really blessed that I would say I had a normal childhood. I was not raised in a dysfunctional family. So it's quite an interesting experience for me to understand people who have come from a dysfunctional family. It's definitely something a little bit beyond me, and I'm interested to read about John's experience.
Okay. I guess I'm the one that probably came from the most dysfunctional family here. My father was an alcoholic, and so my mother was protective of us, and they were divorced when I was 10. And my brother and I, you know, it was a long, long time ago, and back then women didn't have the kind of education. Most women didn't have the education that they have now, so their choices were more limited if they left their husbands. And so it was a very difficult decision for her to do that, even though she knew that the family was dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So I can say that I have lots of empathy for people who grew up under circumstances like this. And it means, this word empathy means that you can feel what it's like to be in that person's situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we can say that we feel that we are, but maybe not necessarily.
Right. You mean feel that we are
empathetic. But empathy is different from sympathy, right? How so, Jack?
Well, I think sympathy is something where I can sort of understand what you are feeling, but empathy is where I also want to feel with you. Is that correct?
Well, empathy, yeah. It means you do feel.
Yeah, I feel the same thing you are feeling.
Exactly. Like if you're sympathetic, you might say, oh, I'm sorry for you. Whereas if you're empathetic, you might say, oh, I feel your pain. And it takes someone who has had similar experiences to be empathetic.
And you do have to be careful about being, if you're in counseling situations, you have to be very careful about being empathetic because you can identify too much with the person. But as a person, as a friend, you know, empathy goes a long way because if you are identifying somebody who grew up in those circumstances, you might have a lot more to offer that person in if they're trying to, you know, change their behavior or change their way of thinking.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting what it says about circumstances here, because we read here, but such circumstances, so these terrible circumstances of a dysfunctional family, do not explain why any otherwise responsible, reasonably intelligent individual is struggling with parenting issues. So it seems like the idea is that we can't, I guess, blame our childhood or blame what we grew up with for our actions now.
Well, yeah, and actually I think the next sentence says that. It says the person is struggling because they have convinced themselves that their childhood is a handicap. Do you guys agree with that? Have you met any, I mean, both of you have grown up in fairly normal families, so have you met people like this?
Yeah, sure, but I mean, it's one of those things, you never know what someone's background is unless you get to know them and unless you have a relationship with them where they're willing to open up with you about that kind of stuff. And then maybe at that point you're like, oh, not quite, you know, so that's why.
Yeah, right.
I think for me it would be hard from my experience to say definitively about this, but I do know that we often become what we think we are. So when I think that I have some sort of limit, then I usually do have that limit.
That's right. And so if you think that you have, that your childhood is a handicap, and a handicap here just means something that makes it difficult for you to do something else. So you feel like I can't be normal because of my my background or because of my childhood, it is very easy to blame.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I think we often are looking for something else to be the reason why this is wrong. It can't be me. I don't want it to be this or my history.
Right. Mm. It's an excuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of it is an excuse for... I mean, I think that there are people that really have been very, very damaged by their childhood or by what's happened to them in the past. But also, I think that what he's coming from is it's for a lot of us, it's a matter of perspective.
Sure. Because there are some people who maybe still need to work through some issues from their past. And that's good, especially if they acknowledge it and they're admitting it and they're trying to work through it. But then there's a difference between that and, you know, just completely ignoring your own responsibility or just thinking, oh, well, I can't help that. I can't improve, you know.
Yeah, I do know some people like that, actually. And, I mean, for myself, because of my childhood, it affected my thoughts about having children myself because I didn't feel like I had... You know, I only had my mother to go on, and she really was a fabulous mother, but I didn't feel maybe that I didn't like my childhood, so I didn't want to raise kids to have a bad experience being children.
Was it almost like you didn't even want to bring them into this world?
Yeah, kind of. I didn't want to be a parent, kind of, because I thought I would be a terrible parent. Mm. But David, I mean, you know, my husband is a nice guy. So... You know, we didn't have kids for 7 years into our marriage, and finally he said he kind of wanted to have kids, so I was like, all right, fine. I think my children are fairly normal.
They are great. Ian and Brittany are great.
Okay, well, let's continue reading. We're going to read this next section here, this next paragraph to the end of this column.
A matter of perspective. First, if a person knows that his or her parents were a mess, then the person also knows how not to be a similar mess. The negative can easily be transformed into a positive. My parents were bad role models is a form of self-enabling. The problem is not the parents. The problem is the person's persistent use of their childhood to avoid personal responsibility. The person describes their childhood as a handicap. Therefore, it is a handicap. The positive, functional statement is, I know how to be a good parent precisely because my parents were such bad parents. The difference between being handicapped and not being handicapped is a choice.
So a matter of perspective, what does perspective mean here?
It's just the way you look at things.
Okay.
Yeah, so your angle or your view about life.
I think that's what Jack was saying earlier, right? It's how you decide to view it and what you say to yourself. And basically that is what this paragraph says. It says here that, you know, if you know that your parents were a mess, it's kind of an interesting description.
Right. Yeah, I like that phrase, a mess. You know, oh, I'm such a mess today. It kind of means like maybe I'm not organized in my thoughts or, you know, there's a lot of things I need to get together. So if someone's parents are a mess, that means they feel like, well, there's a lot of dysfunction in their family or in their relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guess it is perspective because then, you know what not to do.
That's right.
I think part of it is, though, you know, we often become what we don't want to be. If we focus on something so much that is very negative in our lives, you know, psychology has shown that we tend to end up being like that because our focus is on that.
Is that why people encourage, like, not to focus on your weaknesses so much as
probably,
much as, like, you know, honing your strengths?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know even though I had a fairly normal childhood, we've all gone through painful things in life. I've had my share of painful things. And at some point, you have to just acknowledge, okay, that happened. It was, it's in the past. It did happen. But I can't just constantly be living on that past moment.
Right.
Yeah, sure. I think of maybe examples or instances where I think all children feel sometimes that they're misunderstood by some adult, whether it's a parent or a teacher or somebody else. and they feel like they're unjustly accused of something. And then, you know, that kind of stuff you can carry with you for a long time, or you could choose to get over it. Right.
Right.
As a child, it's difficult to get over. You know, I think that's something we bring into our adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, that's when we really have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because it also affects our relationship, especially if it's a sibling that happened with, you know, you're always the one blamed for everything that went wrong.
Right. Then you're going to think, oh, everyone's going to blame you now, too. So you're more defensive.
And also it affects the way that you interact with that sibling or siblings as well.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you've gone through a painful, really painful something in your past, then it's not to say, oh, you can just brush it off and say, oh, that's in the past. Sometimes we need to pursue some counseling or something to really help us heal from the situation.
Right.
Yeah, you're right, because sometimes we don't even realize how big of a thing, how much it influenced us or how much it impacted us.
Yeah.
And so we think about it deeply. Mm. Yeah.
Well, he goes on to say the negative can easily be transformed into a positive. But I think what you said is right. To me, that is a very blanket statement as well. You know, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes you do need help in even identifying it.
Yeah, it's not just like saying, oh, the glass is not half empty, it's half full. Sometimes it takes a little more time.
Because it's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do, you know, my parents were bad role models is a form of self-enabling. So if you want to stay the way you are, and we use that as an excuse that enables us. That's what this means. It enables us to continue to say, oh yeah, well, I can't help myself.
Right. Because it runs in the family.
Yeah, it runs in my parents made me this way. And so they were bad parents and this is the way I am and take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
So we also go on to see that here that, John feels that the problem is not the parents. It's the persistent use of their childhood to avoid personal responsibility. Do you guys agree with this statement?
Yeah, sure. I guess reflecting back on some instances or things that I saw my parents do that I thought, hey, they could have done a better job or maybe they made some, bad decisions here and there. Yeah, I think in every one of those situations, I think, okay, well, what's my responsibility in this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I supposed to is this just how I'm supposed to act because they acted like this? Or am I supposed to kind of think about it and then make different decisions, and different life, I guess, decisions because of that? So it is my responsibility, at least to think about it. I think it's good for us to think critically about how we were taught and what happens in life, you know?
And not just passively.
Yeah, not just take it and say, oh, that's how I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, we see here that the person describes their childhood as a handicap, therefore it is a handicap. That's what you were talking about, Jack.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's very true often when we want to learn a skill and we try it and we feel really bad, oh, I'm really bad at this. And then usually if I continue to think, oh, I'm really bad at this, then that's it. I'm not going to learn that skill at all. And so perhaps if it's parenting, if I think, oh, I'm going to be really bad at this, I'm already thinking I'm going to be bad because I had such a bad view of it in my childhood, then that may be actually what happens.
Right. That's what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think as parents, you know, I mean, my children are adult children now. And, you know, as a parent, I just want to encourage people with small children, as your children are growing up, you know, a parent, what you say to your kids is also what they believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you say you're a bad kid, you know, right? Then they're a bad. We never say you're a bad kid. You should say that behavior was bad or something like that.
Mm.
You know, or you're stupid. I've heard so many people say this.
Right, yeah. Oh, you're stupid. Or like, oh, you're not as smart as they are.
Right.
You know?
And comparison. I mean, those kind of things, to me, are a parent's responsibility, really, in how you speak to your children. So we as parents can do a lot to help our kids have a positive behavior.
Right, to separate the person from the behavior.
Well, I meant the positive point of view as well.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about dysfunction within a family, then, you know, then you can't really expect that. I mean, that's part of the dysfunction as well. But I think as adults, I think Jack is right that if you want to overcome this and you can't, you know, sometimes there are things we can't get beyond, then there is nothing wrong with seeking some kind of counseling or help to, you know, maybe it's hidden, you know, and you don't really realize what you're, why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of people, I think, they think counseling is a last resort, or, oh, counseling is not for me, like, oh, my problem's not that bad, but maybe it would actually help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we see here the very last sentence in this column says, the difference between being handicapped and not being handicapped is a choice. So it is in how you view what happened to you.
Sure. And this is obviously not talking about someone who's physically handicapped. That handicap also has that meaning. But here we're talking about something that you can make a choice. You can decide whether you're going to be inhibited by your childhood or background or make your personal decisions.
Right. Okay, well, let's continue with our article. We are going to read to the end of the article in the second column.
Next, Sigmund Freud, the so-called father of modern psychology, proposed that parenting produces the person. That amounts to a denial of free will. It also gives people permission to create soap operas out of their childhoods. Examples abound of people being raised badly who turned out well and vice versa. People believe their less than desirable childhoods explain why they are not the parents they want to be, because they believe in parenting determinism. But the problem is their belief, not some inescapable cause-effect relationship. Change your way of thinking. Begin by celebrating the wonderfully paradoxical examples your parents set for you. It's a much better use of mental energy. Believe me.
So this paragraph begins with Sigmund Freud, the so-called father of modern psychology, proposed that parenting produces the person. This is kind of an interesting sentence, especially this use of so-called. If somebody says so-called to you, what do they mean, Jack?
Well, it means they're calling into question, really, that that name should be applied to that person.
Right. If you took psychology, everybody calls Freud the
father of
modern psychology.
Exactly. And so here the author is saying, oh, the so-called, it's kind of, now we know what the author thinks, or
right.
Now we have an idea that the author is doubting whether he should be called the father of modern psychology.
Because Freud said he proposed that parenting produces the person. And then his reason for calling him so-called is that amounts to a denial of free will. Very, very interesting.
Right. So you can see that the author kind of disagrees with Freud on some issues, on some things. And I don't know what you guys think about that. Parenting produces the person. That's what Freud was saying.
You know, are you a blank slate and then your environment? Is it your environment or is it nature that creates the person? What do you think, Jack?
I can't say definitively, but I tend to think it's a combination of both. There are some things that are definitely in our genetics even that define who we are, but there's definitely an aspect of that of our environment that is stamped on us, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see here that the reason that our author disagrees with Freud is because he feels that it is denying free will, which is the ability to freely make a decision with no hindrance. So he's going back to the previous paragraph that if you always blame your parents for everything, then you really never have a choice.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, I agree with our author, and I think it's important to try to remind people that, hey, they do have a choice in the matter, and they can take responsibility for their own actions now, even no matter what happened in their childhood.
Well, I think that he goes on, well, the author goes on to say, it also gives people permission to create soap operas out of their childhoods. Well, and here it just means dramas, right? I know. It's like,
no, because it's true. We all know people who, no matter what age they are, they could be in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and they're still complaining about stuff that happened in their childhood.
Yes. And, you know, actually there is, you can't doubt that bad things happen to people, you know, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you can move on, sort of.
Right. Yeah.
I've met people, I think we all have, that are just amazing examples of people. When you hear their story of their childhood, you would never guess that from what they're doing with their family. They've totally moved on, and they're mm-hmm. raising an entirely different kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
So they have seen one thing, but they don't want it for their own lives, which is what it says. He says here in the last sentence, examples abound of people. And if something abounds, there are large numbers, as Jack said, of people being raised badly who turned out well, and the same. Vice versa means you use that to say what you just said is also true. People have been raised by very good parents and
they turn out badly.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't really want to say it that way, but yes.
Well, the use of the word turn out, because it's not the end, right?
Right.
Of life. So
right.
Maybe right now in their life they're making bad decisions, but hopefully they'll turn out well in the end.
Right. Well, here we don't want to say that they believe in parenting determinism, because that means that the theory that everything happens in life is predecided ahead of time. Yeah, I don't think we want to go there. But we see that, the problem is their belief, according to the author. That's what he thinks. So we need to change our way of thinking. And, it's really, again, how you look at things. You look at these paradoxical examples your parents set for you.
Easier said than done.
Yes. But paradoxical, let's just take a look at. It's a situation that seems impossible or is difficult to understand because there are two opposite things going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have run out of time, but we'd like you to write in and tell us what you think about this topic. It is quite interesting. I think that, once again, this is kind of a blanket statement. There are a lot of, little integral things here that, we could discuss for a very long time. But we don't have time, but we hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we're going to talk about making the most out of your child's playtime. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Bye.